Okay.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
I'm going to start over in case you talked over it.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Over the line, Orr throws it. He's in. A backhander and a save by Tony Esposito.
Stan Mikita was a small guy, very cocky in those days.
A right hand by Magnuson, and he puts Van Dyke down.
Magnuson trying to tear his hair out.
NBC Chicago's James Neveau.
Murphy picked out of midair to Amon. He set him up. Roenick.
.670 The Score's hockey guy, Jay Zawoski.
Belfour! Hawks win again! Chris Chelios in overtime!
Part of Blue Wire Podcasts.
Came off the boards, he shoots, he's going! Down to the Tames! A game-winning goal! The Hawks live to fight another day!
Falling back, circle of drives, skipped it from
the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Chicago's going to be in last place forever.
Clear to center for Tames, you got a breakaway!
To you by Triple Threat Sports, Fry the Coop, and by the Since In-Law Group. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome in, friends, to a special edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. My name is James Neveau from NBC5 Chicago, and as always, I am joined by the one and the only Jay Zawoski of 670 The Score and the I'm Fat Podcast. Jay, we just did a podcast a few days ago. Felt like we got into basically every headline there was to get into, and then lo and behold, a new headline has emerged as Captain Jonathan Toews. You may have heard of him. Pretty good hockey player. Yeah, that Jonathan Toews character. I've heard quite a few things about that gentleman. He released a social media video on Wednesday kind of detailing some of the health issues that he had been going through that caused him to miss last season. Says he's looking forward to rejoining his teammates. And man, it was all other things aside that have been going on right now. It was just great to see Jonathan Toews smiling and skating. Like, it was just a beautiful thing to see and made me really happy this morning when I saw it.
Yeah, those Jonathan Toews highlights in the intro of our show hit a little differently today. That's for sure. It's great to hear him back. And look, we've not forgotten about the ugly story that's going around in the Blackhawks universe. We're going to acknowledge the very convenient timing for the Blackhawks to send this announcement. Jonathan Toews did it on his own social media, but the fact remains that this was dropped at a very convenient time for the Blackhawks. We're not going to lose sight of the giant story we spent a lot of time on the last podcast. So if you want to hear our takes on that and you haven't yet, go back and listen to that as well. I also encourage you to listen to the interview with lawyer Susan Loggins on 670 The Score with Parkinson Spiegel if you want to check out that podcast. She is a representative for John Doe 1 and 2. But thanks for joining us. Twitter, Madhouse Pod, Instagram, Madhouse _ pod, email madhousepod@gmail.com. Maybe it's been a while since you've heard from Jonathan Toews, so you're going to hear from him right now. This is courtesy of the captain's Twitter account.
I mean, it feels great. It's been a long time. Honestly, I haven't taken this much time off the ice probably ever since I was a kid at least, so it's definitely nice to be back in Chicago, see some of the guys again, and just slowly but surely just kind of settle into to the life and to the routine again, so it's a good feeling right now. I just think there's a lot of things I just kind of piled up where my body just fell apart. And so what they're calling it was chronic immune response syndrome, where I just couldn't quite recover. And my immune system was reacting to everything that I did, any kind of stress, anything that I would do throughout the day. Just there was always kind of that stress response. So it took some time. And that was the frustrating part, was not really knowing when or how we were going to get over the hump. But thankfully, I got a great support team of people that helped me through it and learned a lot about just the stress I put on my body over the years. And I appreciate all the support. And a lot of people were worried and definitely felt bad to a certain degree that people were that worried, that they thought it was really serious. But in the back of my mind, you know, I'd get through it. It was just a matter of time. I wasn't too vocal about the things that I went through this year. And definitely want to thank the fans. I mean, my teammates, the organization, Rocky, Stan, Jeremy, everybody and the fans especially, I think, talked about the things that you appreciate and things that you maybe take for granted. But I think number one thing is I've had so many people across the hockey world and fans and people that have shown their support. And I think that's the biggest thing is you realize there's more to life than hockey. But I'm excited to get back to the United Center and play and just go out there and have fun. And I think my best is going to come through, and excited to get back in front of the fans.
There you have it, the captain himself. Man, it's good to hear his voice again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, definitely. And then, of course, after this video release, Jay and I decided that we were going to do a podcast. And then as we were recording, Mark Lazarus of The Athletic, that dude that we have cited so many times in the past because they're doing some incredible work over there, came out with an extremely lengthy and candid interview with Jonathan Toews that he conducted. Said it's his first in-person interview in 16 months, which I thought was really interesting. But Toews got into several different elements of his absence. Specifically, there was a really interesting part of this where he mentioned that he's probably a COVID long hauler. He said he had a very nasty bout with COVID-19 right before the pandemic really sprung to life in the United States, and said that COVID may have been the catalyst of everything that's going on. He said, I have a hard time mentioning the word COVID because then everybody's asking about it, and that's going to be the headline. He said he's trying to stay away from it. He's not a doctor. And then he said that the COVID long haulers tend to deal with a lot of stress and their body reacts to stress in specific ways. And he said that it could have potentially led to this. Just a lot of very interesting bits in this article. I would strongly encourage you all to read it. And yeah, it is very interesting hearing in the captain's own words kind of the struggle that he went with as a guy who has really made it his life's work to kind of perfect his body with his diet, with his workout. We all know about the different things that he does to try to help better himself and to make himself healthier. And this had to be incredibly scary and incredibly frustrating to come up against an obstacle that there wasn't any bulldozing your way through. He mentioned in the video, basically, he just had to wait it out.
Yep. This is, you know, it's funny. We actually, just to let people behind the curtain, you said it, but the reality is we had just ended the podcast. Honestly, I was like, all right, buddy, talk to you later. And then this Lazarus thing pops up. This checks out a lot for me. One of my good friends had COVID back in November, and he is a long hauler COVID. I don't know. You say survivor, I suppose would be the word. But his symptoms have been horrible. He's a young guy. He's a healthy guy. And it's just been wreaking havoc on him. And he's still, to this day, dealing with the symptoms of this thing to where simple, like, getting up and walking around the block will debilitate him for an entire day. Now, he's not in the same physical shape as Jonathan Toews and doesn't have an army of trainers at his beck and call all the time like Toews does. But this really checks out, and I think this sort of connects the dot as to what he said earlier in the video to what it probably is. This makes all the sense in the world. And I'm a little bit surprised, just knowing the way Jonathan Toews is and how he's an advocate for things and how he's pretty outspoken, that he would not, and I'm not criticizing him. I just think, knowing his personality, it's a bit of a surprise that he was so secretive about COVID and still is trying to be that. Yeah, you know, I don't really want to talk about it. I don't really want to mention it. I don't know why. I think, you know, having it represented by someone like Toews, I think is important, right? To have people say, like, wow, if it can happen to him, it can happen to me. That's sort of the idea, but I could see why he's uncomfortable with it, but I'm just a little bit surprised that he was not more vocal about it. But hey, the good news is he's back. He's got some answers, and all things positive from here on out, hopefully.
Yeah, and he said his goal is to be back out on the ice for the opener in October, whenever that's scheduled for. Says that he's obviously taking his time and taking great pains to make sure that he's healthy and 100%, but just, again, a really good profile done by Mark Lazarus. I'm obviously excited for him that he got to do an in-person interview. I know we all miss doing things like that, and hopefully, again, Jonathan Toews is able to accomplish that goal that he set out. It is a very enlightening piece, and he does get a little bit into the Brad Aldridge accusations as well. So that is definitely worth your time on all counts, for sure.
Yeah, I want to mention one thing, too, on the Aldrich thing. Taves does sort of push back about the statement that a former player said that everybody on the team knew. Taves says, I don't know who the player is, but it's kind of annoyed me when it seemed like it fed the fire a little bit. When that player commented that everybody on the team knew, that wasn't true. As far as I know, some guys may have caught whispers of it, and some guys were clueless until the next year. I don't think that was an accurate statement. I said on the last podcast we did, I said it on the air at 670 The Score, I had a former player on that team say the same to me as well, that in fact not every player knew that that had gone on, and there were still people finding out about it as the story was breaking. So take it for what it's worth. Believe the players. Don't believe the players. I'm just telling you what I was told, and Jonathan Taves seems to sort of confirm that there. So we encourage you, as we always do, subscribe to The Athletic. It's awesome. It's the cost of a cup of coffee a month, and it is the best sports coverage you're going to get outside of James Naveau's coverage on NBC Chicago. If you had to pay for that, it'd be worth every penny, but you don't. It's free because James loves you.
Your flattery is just otherworldly.
It's just good to see him back on the ice, and it sounds like, from all things, he's going to be back next year, and we can just expect Jonathan Taves to be part of the Blackhawks again, and that is good news.
Yeah, obviously there's going to be a lot of time for speculation about what the return means in terms of roster construction, but I think what this ultimately boils down to, of course, is two things. One of which, we wanted to make sure that Jonathan Taves was healthy no matter what, that he obviously was going to have good quality of life, yada yada. That's always the first thing that we talk about in these situations. And quite obviously, it sounds like this is a situation where he feels that his body is sufficiently recovered and isn't reacting to stresses the same way that it did when he was missing time. So we can obviously infer then that he has that quality of life that you and I talk about so often when it comes to these long-term medical issues. And then the second part, obviously, we can get into is, obviously, this was the biggest question facing the Chicago Blackhawks on the ice this offseason, right? It was whether or not Jonathan Taves was going to be part of the mix next season in the 82-game season. And this seems to be a pretty conclusive answer that he is going to be part of it. And so that raises a whole host of questions about who's going to play center, which forwards are going to be re-signed, which forwards are going to be traded. The Blackhawks, as I'm sure all of our listeners know, have approximately 6,473 forwards under contract for next season. It's a really blatant violation of the NHL's 50 contract rule. I'm not quite sure how Stan Bowman's gotten away with this, but I think that this obviously answers the biggest question the Blackhawks have going into the draft and free agency, and obviously is going to dictate a lot of what the team ends up doing in both of those things. And it's great that Jonathan Taves is back, and it's great to talk about him in a way where we know he's going to be part of the plans moving forward. It's really awesome, and it was really great to hear from him, to see him skating, and just to know that he's going to be part of the mix moving forward.
I think we all sort of expected this, but to have it officially answered is great. I'm very happy, and I was pleased to see that announcement come down today. And I don't know, it was him out there on the ice, and Connor Murphy, and I think DeBrincat was there with him too in the little video he posted on his Twitter. So it's a great thing, a good thing that the captain's back. I know every Hawks fan, regardless how you feel about the salary cap and the team at the moment and all those sort of things, everybody loves Jonathan Taves. And boy, some of the things that were flying around, you know, as everyone was trying to sort of guess and connect dots, while we didn't know, were scary, you know, and he sort of acknowledges that in the video. He's saying like, hey, I know, you know, people were really worried about me and were thinking it was some really horrible stuff. I'm glad to know that it was something that he seems to have a pretty firm grasp on, nothing life threatening. And that's great. And I think as you hear this and as you think about how the last year has gone, just remember this in the future. The next time someone's out with something we don't know about, we don't have the full information, be careful with the speculation that you hear, because people were talking about some really serious things like ALS and like cancer, and all these sort of things were just flying around, and people were talking about them as if they were facts just because they've heard it through the game of telephone so many times. Just be careful, right? You know, because if someone says, oh yeah, my uncle, he's a cop and he knows Taves, he knows a guy who works at the hospital and he saw him, and that becomes, if it's repeated enough, then it becomes truth, right? It's the purple monkey dishwasher thing on The Simpsons. Eventually, you know, the wrong thing gets said enough and it becomes fact. So just be careful in the future. I think it's a good lesson for everybody. And even me, like, I kept hearing the rumors like, well, God, maybe I'm just, maybe I have the wrong sources, or they're just not telling me because so many people are so sure about that. I'm glad that you and I were careful, and a lot of other people were too, and I'm glad that it's not something that will affect his life long term.
Well, yeah, why on earth would we want to spread misinformation?
Right.
I mean, I obviously work in the news business, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners probably are thinking to themselves, ah, NBC's fake news anyway. We take great pains to make sure that our stories are correct. And yes, it is awesome to be first. There's few things in life that match the high of getting a story first and getting it out there and getting all the plaudits and kudos after that. But the reality is we're looking to get the right story. And obviously all of these things about Jonathan Toews, it was all conjecture. We warned everybody repeatedly not to believe what your Uncle Billy had to say.
Hey, you leave my Uncle Billy out of this. Uncle Billy's a saint.
Rambling Grimace's uncle? Is Uncle Billy?
Maybe. I think of Uncle Billy on It's a Wonderful Life.
Idiot. Oh, jeez. that's not the reference I was going for, but I do like that.
I do have an Uncle Billy that's awesome. It would not report fake news. Thank you.
The whole idea, though, is, again, that we just wanted to share our honest opinions on the situation and also to freely reveal that we didn't know what was going on. I think that there's a tendency to kind of try to act like you know more than you do a lot of times in this industry. And I think that a lot of reporters and podcasters, us included, showed the appropriate level of restraint. And I do think that it's a good lesson to carry forward, not just in situations like this where you're talking about medical issues and things like that, but definitely other interlocker room conflicts, trades, whatever it is. It's okay not to know. You obviously should keep making an effort to know, but it's fine not to know. It's not the end of the world. I assure you, you're not going to lose if you end up losing out on a scoop to Jonathan Toews himself when he releases a video like he did today. I assure you, no one's going to hold it against you if you wait for the facts to come out. It's not a bad thing.
Definitely. All right, we got one more little news item to get to. The ESPN ABC has announced their NHL roster for next season, or roster of broadcasters. So we're going to take a quick time out and tell you about that. But first, we want to tell you about our friends at Fry the Coop and frythecoop.com. What's Fry the Coop? The best damn Nashville hot chicken in the world. Oaklawn, Elmhurst, Westtown, Prospect Heights, Tinley Park. Come get your happiness at frythecoop.com. We'll be right back with more on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back into this special edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Jay and I have been talking about the return of Jonathan Toews, who announced some things about his health this morning that obviously was great news for Blackhawk fans. He was out skating, indicated that he's going to be back with the team next season. But now we do have to get to another headline about how the games are going to be presented. We already know that Pat Foley is going to be stepping down as Blackhawks broadcaster at the end of next season. But on a national level, there's a couple of new broadcasting partners the NHL has with Turner Sports and with ESPN, and the latter announced a slate of broadcasters, and there are some really, really good names on this list.
Oh, real quick, you mentioned it, the Pat Foley replacement. We ran a poll on that, and I said John Weideman, Len Kasper, and Judd Surratt, who would you like to replace? And the overwhelming majority went to John Weideman. I think that's interesting. A name I excluded that I shouldn't have, Steven Nelson, who did a great job during the World Championships. I really like him as a play-by-play guy. Chicago guy, young guy, enthusiastic. Throw his name in the hat for me. I don't know if he's a candidate or not, but I am nominating him myself. Okay, so ESPN crew for hockey. Obviously, you know, Greg Wyshynski's there. He writes there. That's Puck Daddy for all you old hockey fans.
Same with Emily Kaplan. Emily, she also has been reporting there forever.
Correct. Both of them will be involved. I'm really happy for the few hockey enthusiasts at ESPN. John Buchagross, Steve Levy, Linda Cohn, among them, are back on the coverage. John Buchagross will do some play-by-play, as will Steve Levy. Linda Cohn will be the studio host and for Inside the Crease. So some of the big names here, though, Chris Chelios has been hired as an analyst. Ryan Callahan, we've seen his work before. Brian Boucher moves from NBC to ABC, ESPN, etc. Ray Ferraro makes the jump over to the States, which is great. I love Ray Ferraro. Mark Messier hired as an analyst. Also, I saw Hillary Knight, the U.S. women's hockey player, has been hired as an analyst. So I like, Kevin Weeks as well. I love Kevin Weeks as an analyst. I think that will be short-lived because I think he's getting a front office job soon. It feels that way. It's like his time has come. And former goaltender Rick DiPietro also serving as an analyst. So lots of good people on the staff. There's more we haven't mentioned, but and I think Sean McDonough is going to be their lead play-by-play guy. I
was actually just about to mention that. I was going to say, how dare you omit the biggest like news of all, that he's basically going to be the Doc Emrick / Kenny Albert of their coverage. He's going to be the head honcho.
Hey, I like it, man. I like that they're spending money. They're bringing in big names. They're trying some people out. That was sort of my concern was, what is their commitment level going to be to hockey? And just looking at this roster preliminarily, preliminarily, I like what they've done. I'm pretty happy with what they have. And now we got to see what Turner comes up with, and we should find that out very, very soon.
I thought there were some definitely cool names on the list. AJ Molesko is another analyst who's coming over from NBC. She'll be helping out with the coverage. Cassie Campbell-Pascal, I think, is from Sportsnet, I believe. She is going to be joining the ESPN crew as an analyst. Really liked that hire as well. A couple of really good reporters on the list. Leah Hextall apparently is going to do some play-by-play and some reporting for the NHL. I think that's a really solid hire by ESPN. Then, of course, Barry Melrose is still around, guys. The mullet lives, and he is still going to be on the old TV for NHL games on ESPN. So, yes, there are, and like Jay said, there are a million other people that we didn't mention specifically, but I'm really excited to see some of the things that Leah Hextall and Hillary Knight bring to the mix. I'm really, really interested to see how Chris Chelios and Mark Messier do as analysts. I don't really get the vibe that they're gonna be hellfire and brimstone type dudes, but I'm willing to give them a shot, man. Let's see what they got. And same thing obviously with Ryan Callahan. I'd like to see what he's going to do in an expanded role as well. And then I just like some of those standbys they brought in. Like Ray Ferraro is just the bomb. I love that dude.
Yeah,
he is so good. I thought Sean McDonough got kind of a bum rap when he was calling Monday Night Football games. I thought that he was really good at that. Interested to see how he does at hockey. And it's a very interesting cast that they've put together, I suppose, for hockey games. And I do think that it shows their emphasis on making sure that they're doing this the right way. And I think it's going to be potentially a really beneficial partnership for the NHL.
By the way, we do have a little bit of news on Turner Sports. Kenny Albert will be with Turner. Wayne Gretzky will be with Turner, as will Eddie Olczyk. So those are the names we have so far on their roster. I'm sure more to come. But Olczyk, Albert, and Gretzky are on the Turner side of things. So far, the hockey coverage is looking pretty solid. I can't complain. I don't know what Gretzky brings as an analyst. But, hey, there's no bigger name than him. So
I kind of love the fact that he and Messier got hired by different networks. Yeah. Maybe they can like start a rivalry or something.
Now let's see. ESPN has to hire Yager, and then Turner will hire Mario Lemieux.
I'm sure that's going to be fine. There's no conflict of interest there, right? Being that he's the owner of a team.
No, not at all. How dare you? How dare you imply such things? and before we wrap up, a little bit of breaking news here. I'm just seeing this cross my Twitter account now. Our buddy Chris Bowden, who for the last 4 years has been the Blackhawks pre- and post-game host on radio, was told today that his host position is being eliminated due to COVID-related financial losses. So he thanks the Hawks and his teammates John Weideman and Troy Murray. So, man, that sucks. Chris Bowden is an awesome dude. He did a really good job as a pre- and post-game host, and I'm sure whatever's next for Chris Bowden will be great for him and great for the audience because he is a great guy who's awesome at his job. So best wishes to Chris from James and I at the Madhouse Podcast. Anything you want to add here before we tie a bow on this and you have to get to work?
Yeah, before I have to go and do my big boy job.
Yeah, right.
I did want to mention one thing. You had kind of gotten to this off of the top of the show, but I did want to emphasize one thing about people who are dismissing the Jonathan Toews announcement as just a PR stunt by the Blackhawks to distract attention away from what's going on with the sexual abuse allegations that have been going around. And I have to say, this isn't a zero-sum game in terms of your attention. Like, you can't assume that, oh, look, shiny object over here, Jonathan Toews. Even if that's what the Blackhawks decided that they wanted to do, if this was some master plan by the Blackhawks to distract everybody, there is no law that says you can only pay attention to one thing at a time. It is possible to hold two ideas in your head at the same time and to know that, yes, on a human level, it is awesome to see Jonathan Toews back on the ice. Really happy to see him healthy. Excited to see what he's going to bring to the mix when he comes back this season, while at the same time still acknowledging that there is a very dark cloud over the Blackhawks and that I still stand by what I've said previously. And I don't think that the independent investigation by the Blackhawks themselves is a sufficient response to what's going on. It is possible to hold both of those opinions at the same time. So I really would encourage our listeners, don't poo-poo or discourage people from feeling good human vibes or whatever you want to call it from seeing Jonathan Toews back out on the ice. Don't discourage them from doing that just because of the other stuff that's going on. It is possible to hold both of those thought processes in your head at the same time. That's all I'm saying.
It's very well said, and I agree with you. And remember, if you want to get our takes on what is happening off the ice with the Brad Aldrich situation, tune into our episode from June 28th. And we spend a lot of time on that. Not much has changed since then. As things change, we'll keep you updated. As you see, we've done, what, three podcasts this week. Your interview with Laura Saba previewing the Stanley Cup Final. Our episode for Monday talking about Foley and the Brad Aldrich situation. And, of course, today talking about Jonathan Toews' apparent return. So we're always here for you. Just because the Hawks are not on the ice right now doesn't mean we won't be here. The offseason, actually, is some of our busiest time and best shows. So make sure you stick here. Make sure you subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know as soon as we post an episode, you'll get notified and you'll be ready to go. So before we wrap up, I want to thank our sponsor, Kent Simpson of the Simpson Law Group. Injuries, you got a slip and fall case, injury as a result of something at work, automobile injury. Reach out to him. His firm's results speak for themselves with millions recovered for their clients. Simpson Law Group charges no fees unless they win for you. Call for a free consultation, 312-332-2107, or visit SimpsonLawGroup.com. Don't go off sides. Go top shelf. Call the Simpson Law Group now. For my partner, James DeVoe, my name is Jay Zawoski. This is the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast was brought to you by Fry the Coop, Triple Threat Sports, and by the Since In-Law Group.